Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Trupanion Medical Insurance for the life of your pet is a proud sponsor of Pure Dog Talk. Trupanion invites you to sign up for their breeder support program. This program allows breeders to provide their buyers with special offers to help protect the puppy in the event of any unexpected accidents or illnesses as they transition to their new home. By clicking the link on my partner page, you can join the program today. Additionally, Trupanion will provide you with informational materials for your puppy kits, and they'll offer one-on-one support, all at no cost to you. Sign up at the partner page today and mention Pure Dog Talk sent you. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and we have a very special guest today, and I am thrilled that we finally get to talk to Pat Hastings. Pat, many of you will know from her puppy puzzle seminars, her Structure in Action book, all of the really great resources that Pat has provided for us in the last, like, really 20 years are incredible. So, Pat, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it tremendously. And so give us the 411. I mean, I can remember you and Bob showing dogs when I was a kid, but, you know, that was a long time ago for me.
Amen.
Right. How did you get started in dogs, and how did you and Bob hook up? All that fun background stuff.
Well, got my first dog in 1959. It was an engagement present for my first husband.
Oh, wow.
Got talked into going to a dog show and winning a ribbon and getting hooked for life. That's kind of the way it works.
Isn't that how all of us, right?
Went through some different breeds. I was breeding Borzois at the time that I met Bob.
Okay.
And he was the AKC rep at the time, and I was a show chairman. And that's where I met him, and eventually he went back into handling, so I went back in with him.
Yep.
And it was quite a ride. I wouldn't have given it up for anything.
Oh.
There is no better way to learn about dogs than to have your hands on them and to live
right.
with them and to raise them and to watch puppies grow up, and that's how we learn them.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that is so important for people to understand, is that this really is a hands-on, right? Like, as much as we try, you can't learn this from a book. You got to do it.
Absolutely.
And talk to us. Dobermans were kind of what I remember you with. That was sort of where you and Bob really focused for a lot of years, was it not?
Well, actually, I started in poodles.
Okay.
We did our most breeding in Whippets. We did our most winning in Dobermans,
okay,
which is why people really think of us as Doberman people.
Right.
And I've been involved with Dobies for a long time.
Right.
Very involved with judges' education with Dobies. Really, really honored that I've judged the Dobe National 4 times.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty impressive.
And Bob and I were very honored to have won the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Dobie Club.
Right. I remember.
So, yeah, we're Dobie people down to the bottoms of our toes.
Oh, well, it's a great breed. I mean, you know, that look of eagles, right?
Yep.
That's for a lot of people very iconic. And so what brought you from the idea of, you know, you've been every position in every club, you've done all of this work. What brought you to the idea of doing the puppy puzzle?
The puppy puzzle, everything that I've done in dogs, is none of it's been on purpose.
Right.
One thing has just led to another, and
yep.
you know, created this little cottage industry. But I sure didn't do any of it on purpose. That's the way it seems to work.
Yep.
We did a lot of breeding. We were also involved with most of our major clients and their breeding programs, and we knew everybody else in the sport. And we were just almost comically amused at how many mistakes we made picking puppies.
Right.
I don't know anybody in this sport who hasn't kept something that didn't turn out to be what they thought it might.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody who hasn't kicked themselves for when they sold as a pet. And we kept thinking, there's got to be something we're missing here. There's something we're not looking at right. So we just kind of started out in this sojourn to see if we could figure out what it was. And we were just doing it for our knowledge. We had no idea it would ever go into public usage.
Mm.
And that's where it all began.
Wow.
And we started with Hal Engel, who was in a professor of anatomy down at Oregon State Vet School.
Hal's wonderful.
Oh, yes. We worked with three vet schools. We were working with lots of vets. We were working with a lot of engineers. But because we were dog people, we went to dog people that were engineers. And we were learning lots of bits and pieces and cool stuff, but nothing that was putting it together. And our main mentor through all of it, his name was Dr. Barclay Slocum. He was an orthopedic surgeon who was kind of a rebel in his field because he always wanted to know why. And we were doing a lot of litters down at his clinic, and he would get bones out, and he would show us how stuff worked, and he would palpate, and he would x-ray. And it was really, really fascinating stuff, but it still wasn't putting it together. And it was kind of making him nuts because he couldn't figure it out either. And so one night, late at night, the phone rings, and it's Dr. Slocum, and he says, "Pat, I think I got it figured out." He said, "I want you to do whatever it takes to find a structural engineer who has never owned or lived with a dog or an animal in his life." He said, "I think the problem is all you dog people look at these dogs with your heart."
Mm-hmm, right.
"And you got to figure out how to separate that from your mind." And
that's
so we said, "Okay."
Really
so
good.
We started out on that sojourn. And once we found one, and it was comical because he didn't want to talk to us because he didn't like dogs. But we finally offered him enough money to where he was willing to help. And from the very first appointment we had with him, we knew he had found the answers. That it really doesn't make any difference if you're breeding dogs, you're building bridges, you're building skyscrapers. If you don't build them for the purpose you use them, they break.
That's great. Right there. That is awesome.
And we have made the study of structure so difficult in our sport that most people think they don't understand it. But it isn't difficult. It's really, really simple when you break it down into the simple basics of the law of physics and the law of nature.
I love that.
So that's how it all came about. And one thing just led to another, and
right.
Here I am.
Well, and give us a for example. Okay, so one that I always am constantly going back to is front assembly, because it's so important in all the ways, right? It picks up the impact, it carries the whole dog, and if it's wrong, everything else is wrong.
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
I find that so many breeds decide, okay, we got to fix our fronts, and they let everything else go.
Yeah, well, there's that.
And that doesn't work either. You've got to learn how to look at the whole package and then work on the pieces.
Right.
But you can't work on a piece at a time and forget the package.
Very, very valid. Very,
very
valid.
Very, very valid. And so one of the things that the engineer taught us was the simplest thing in the world, and that is the majority of breeds, there's a few exceptions, but very few, the majority of breeds have three natural balance points. The head must be above the top line. The neck must be in front of the legs, the front legs, and the rear slightly behind them. And those three balance points is what allows a dog to stand still. The better you're made, the more you can stand still. The more you move, the more you fuss, the more you shift your weight, the more structural issues you're dealing with. So if those three lines are correct, your angles are correct.
Nice.
Now, that
I
is
like
way
that.
Too simple, isn't it?
Right, right. Well, and I think, too, Pat, one of the things that I've always enjoyed when I look at the puppy puzzle and I look at some of these things is, again, that simplicity, right? Step back. You know, it's not just 90 degrees and measuring and all this stuff. It's that simple, elegant balance that's so important.
Yeah. And one thing that we learned that just kind of blew my mind, because we thought we knew what we were doing when we were handling. I'll tell you, we didn't know anything. I was shocked at how much I have learned since those years. But everybody talks about short upper arms. You hear that constantly. Well, it took, I don't know how many years for somebody to finally teach me that the prosternum, the bone that sticks out in the front that you can see on most dogs, is always in a direct line with your point of shoulder.
Yes.
So you don't need to measure upper arms. Look to see where the prosternum is.
I love that.
If it's in the middle, you don't have a short upper arm.
I love
if you have
that.
A short upper arm, the prosternum's lower.
Interesting.
It's one of those things that is known as a BFO, which is a blinding flash of the obvious.
It totally is. I'm sitting here gobsmacked. I have never even thought of that.
But that's what is what has made the study of structure so difficult for most people, is because we've never used the common sense.
That God gave little green apples? Yeah.
Absolutely. That make it easy to understand.
Right. Okay. I totally love that. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. Hey, listeners, give me a minute. Join me. We're going to visit with Cheryl Kreitzer from showdogswithaz.org. And she has some great information for you about this new resource that's available to the worldwide purebred dog community.
Thank you for having me, Laura. Well, one of the things that I wanted to touch on is that AKC has their AKC.org. UKC has their UKC site. All of the kennel clubs have these great resources for people in our community to go and look at. One of the things I wanted to do was bring all of the kennel clubs, all of the community, into an experience where they can all get together. The website that I've built is across all of that, and it translates instantly with a click of a button at the top of it.
So I can learn about the Japanese Kennel Club and members in Japan who have a Shiba that I want to buy, right?
Yes, you can. And you can even visit our instant chat and talk to them instantaneously because it will translate as you talk. Or you can visit the forum and you can translate that as well.
Amazing. I love it. All right, listeners, check out showdogswithaz.org. So I'm going to make a little segue here because I want to get to your new book, Let's Make You a Winner, right? I want to get to that, but I want to just get your response to this. And I didn't even set you up for it because I wanted to hear so much of the original discussion of raising puppies and puppy development, all of that started with your work. And you've now seen, you know, puppy culture and all of these other things that are, if you will, spinoffs. So does that make you feel good? Is it...
makes me feel wonderful.
Good.
Because who I am is I'm about the dogs.
Right.
And so the more we learn, the more our dogs benefit.
And do you find that you learn more things? I mean, I know I do. Do you find that you learn more things the more different systems, the more you talk to people, all of that sort of thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
You know, I do about 20 seminars a year.
Right.
Worldwide. And I have never done a seminar in my life that I haven't learned something at.
I love that.
Somebody is always sitting there that knows something I don't. Always.
Right, right. And I think that's so important for people to hear. Pat Hastings, I learn something every single time. See, listeners, pay attention here. We can all learn something.
Everybody knows something you don't.
That's right. That's absolutely right. So let's make you a winner. You really wanted to put this all kind of in a package is my sense, yes?
Well, how it came about is as a judge, and I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of judges, it is so frustrating not to be able to put up a nice owner-handler dog because they haven't done anything right.
Yes.
And, you know, you may know deep down that it's a really nice dog, but they haven't raised it right. They haven't praised it or fed it right. They haven't groomed it right. They don't show it right. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
And it's frustrating.
It's very frustrating. And it's so frustrating to constantly hear beginners complain about handlers winning.
Right.
That is frustrating as can be, because it isn't the handler that's beating them. It is the total package that's beating them. And so the book actually probably started more as a handling book, but then I got to thinking, well, it doesn't do any good to be a great handler if you don't do all of the prep work beforehand.
Yes.
So that is how the book came about, is just out of frustration that these owner handlers could be doing so much more winning if they learn how to do all of it.
I love that.
And so that's what that new book is about. I love it. We just won the reference book of the year for dog writers at the Garden.
Yes. Yes, I was there.
And so I was tickled to death about that. And I hope it makes a difference because there's a lot of really good dogs out there that should be doing more winning, but somebody has to teach them. And we don't have the mentors out there today that we used to have. It's just non-existent. And I'm just kind of a mentor at heart.
I know. Preaching to the choir right here. That's what I'm trying to do every single Monday and Thursday, I'm telling you. And I think what's so important that you just said that I want to kind of focus on a little bit is that not just that there's great dogs that aren't being rewarded, but there are potentially great owners and breeders who are frustrated and leaving the sport, and we desperately need to keep them, but they don't have any way to be successful because no one will help them.
Yep. Amen. And that's what this book is.
Yes, absolutely. So important.
hopefully teaching them how to put this whole thing together so they can go out there and do their share.
Right. And I think if just retention, right, just from sheer retention, listeners, share this book, share the podcast, share the book, share this knowledge that's out there and it's available. And I think it is just very sad that people don't know what resources are available to them.
Bob was an absolute total believer that knowledge is wasted if it's not shared.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I look at, you know, Tricks of the Trade, all of these Structure in Action, all of the books that you have written and produced and put out there for people to access this information. I think that people sometimes just don't know the resources are there or don't avail themselves of the resources.
You know, every book I've done, including the DVD, have been incredible success-wise sales.
Mm-hmm.
So more and more people constantly learn what's available.
Right.
And the new book, I have heard so many breeders say that they now send it home with every show prospect they sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we've all sold really nice, prospective, good dogs that the people have not known what to do to fulfill the potential of the puppy they had.
Right. Absolutely. I have a new audiobook, the same basic principle, that just hear, learn.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
And people learn differently than they,
exactly.
than they used to.
Mm-hmm.
People don't do the reading they used to. That's why all the books that we've written have kind of been in sound bites.
Yeah, absolutely.
That all of the books, you could just pick it up in any spot and open a page and read it and get something out of it. It's not one you've got to read cover to cover.
Absolutely. And I think that's what's great about the podcast and being able to have guests like yourself come and talk to people because, you know, they're driving. They can't read.
Yeah.
Or they're busy, 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 busy. They don't have time to read. So bringing you here to talk to people gives them that ability to access some of that knowledge and know where to get more.
The majority of people who talk to me about any of my books all say that it lives in their bathrooms.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. That's funny.
But it's true.
It is. It is. I had 5 minutes today. Oh gosh.
So I don't care where they read it as long as they read it and learn.
As long as they read it. Absolutely.
Because like I said, the more we learn, the more our dogs benefit. And also the more people learn, I think the more willing they are to share.
Yes, absolutely. I think the more you learn, the more you realize how much you don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is so important. You know, it's one of the things you talked about, you know, that you didn't realize how much you didn't know when you were a handler. I have found as I've been doing the podcast, as I talk to people, and I mean, I always have loved to learn. That's one of the great things about the podcast. But how much I'm learning is sort of embarrassing.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I have evaluated a little over 40,000 8-week-old puppies.
Wow.
And you would think at that point I would have it figured out. No. No.
Right.
I keep learning new stuff all the time.
Right. And I love that. Again, I just think that is what's so important. And listeners, take a minute, check out the Dog Folk website where you can actually see, and I'll put a link on the homepage for you guys on the blog post, and see all the books that are available. See the DVD, see the stuff that you can get an opportunity to learn. And Pat, I really, really appreciate you joining us and taking some time to share with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Excellent.
Let's make sure we share this knowledge we've all gathered over all these years.
Right? I think that that is invaluable. So thank you very much.
Two Cities Kennel Club and the surrounding community were dramatically impacted by the devastating campfire last fall. The club will hold a 2-day raffle at its show to raise funds for a new Yuba County AKC Reunite disaster trailer. Each AKC Pet Disaster Relief Trailer is stocked with essential, non-perishable supplies needed to set up and provide safe sheltering options for pets during an evacuation. The tragedy of last year's fires reinforced the need for a trailer in Northern California. To donate items to the raffle or to donate directly to this critically important disaster relief trailer, go to the events section of the Pure Dog Talk Facebook page for contact information.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to Laura at puredogtalk.com.
Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.